Today, we continue in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Kelim. We are in the 17th Perek, Perek Yud Zayin, large Perek. Perek Yud Zayin has Yud Zayin Mishnayos. It's the 17th Perek, and it has in it 17 Mishnayos, but we today are up to Mishnayos 8 and 9. Perek Yud Zayin, Mishneh Ches, and Mishneh Tes. This is lesson number 67. And we've been learning in some detail about the various measures which are used mainly for the purposes of determining whether a keli loses its status of tumah or its ability or susceptibility to kabbalas tumah. But now we're broadening our interest into measures in general. One of the most famous measures, which is relevant halachically, is the first discussed here in Mishneh Ches, Kazayis She'omru. For most of the shiurim, of the measures in the Torah, we measure in terms of the size of an olive. You yotze the mitzvah of matzah when you eat the size of a kazayis. You have transgressed against the avera of eating chazer, pig, ham, if you eat a kazayas of it. So this kazayas, she'omru, which Chazal determined to be a very important, widely used standard measure, lo gadol v'lo koton, we're not speaking about an extra large kazayas or an exceptionally small one, elo beinoni, a middle of the road, an average size kazayas, ze egori. The type of aleph called the egori is the standard beinoni, the average-sized zayas. The Gemara in Maseches Brachos Daf Lamed Tes says that the reason why this particular type of aleph is called egori is because sheshamno agur bisocho. The oil within this olive is stored, is well stored, is held within the olive. The Vilna Gaon explains that whereas other olives, when it rains, the rain extracts some or dilutes some of the oil which is within the olive. However, this particular type of olive, a gori, stores the oil in such a way that none of it is lost, even when it rains. Kasa'ora she'omru, another shiur, another measure which is given, is the shiur of sa'ora, of a barley, a small barley bean. When it comes to measuring the quantity of a mace, the quantity of a corpse, which is a part of a corpse, which is metame b'mago b'masa, which a person who touches it becomes tome, or if he carries it without touching it, he becomes tome. If there's an etzem kisora, if there's a bone of a dead body, the size of a seoda, the size of a barley, then it is metame. So here too, the Mishnah says, lo gadola v'lo katana. We're not speaking of a very large or a very small seoda, but rather elo bengonis, a average-sized seora. Zo midboris, the type of barley which is called the desert barley, the seora midboris, that's the barley which is the mean, the middle of the road size. Ka'adoshosha omru, when we're told that a sheretz, a dead sheretz, is mitame if it is the size of an adasha, a lentil. And also, in the case of tzora'as, the shiur of michyas bosor chai, of healed flesh, which is a simen of tumah in the certain circumstances, which we will study when we learn maseches negoim. So this adasha size, the size of a lentil, lo gadola v'lo katana, we're not speaking of a very large or very small, or very small lentil, elo beinonis, but an average size lentil. Zo mitzris. The adasha called the Egyptian lentil, adasha mitzris, that is the average size adasha. Kol hamitaltalin mevien es hatuma ba'ovi hamardeya. We learned that if some substance or some object is ma'ahil, acts as an ohel, as a canopy, over a mace and another object. So under this object, you have a corpse or part of a corpse at one end, and at the other end, you have a vessel, a cup, a saucer, or whatever. So if the object above the mace and the chefetz and the object, which is tohor, is the size of the thickness of a mardeya. A mardeya is a long pole which was used to prod cattle. It was a long pole, and at the end of it, there was a nail, and it was used to guide and steer cattle to make sure they stayed in the proper straight and narrow, the path that you wanted them to go when they were plowing. So, if an object is as thick as a mardeya, then it can serve as an ohel above a mace and another object, such that the other object is considered to be under the same ohel as the mace, and that other object is tome. So when we speak of the thickness of a mardeya, lo gadol velo koton, we're neither speaking of a large or small mardeya, elo benoni, but rather an average, middle-of-the-road size mardeya. Eze hu benoni, what size mardeya is the average? Kol shehekefo tefach, if the circumference, this prod is round like a pole, if the circumference of this mardeya is a tefach, so that its diameter is approximately a third of a tefach as a fist for a fist, hand breadth, fist breadth, then the mardeya is considered thick enough to serve as an ohel over a mace, such that other objects under this mardeya of this size would become tame by virtue of being under the same ohel, in this case the mardeya thick enough to qualify, meaning having a diameter of a third of a tefach, a circumference of three tefachim, approximately, that is the size which makes it qualified to be an ohel. An ohel in the matters of conducting the tumas mace to other objects under it. Mishnah Tes continues with another famous measure, and that is the amo. The amo is a measure of length, which measures various things. For example, when it comes to Shabbos, if a person carries an object 4 amos in Rishus HaRabim, in the public domain, that's considered carrying on Shabbos. That's an av malacha. Also, we say that the tchum, the distance out of town in which a person is allowed to walk on Shabbos, is 2,000 amos. A sukkah, if it's higher than 20 amos, is posel. And there are other areas of halacha where the measurement of an amma is important. So here, again, we always speak of bo'amo habenonis, with the average-sized amma, not the large one or the small one. The average-sized amma is 6 tfachim, 6 fist breadths, 6 hand breadths. A small amma would only be 5 tfachim. A large amma, as we will see, will be 6 tfachim and a half an etzba, or 6 tfachim and an etzba, an etzba being the width of one's finger. So there is such a concept in halacha of an amma ketana and of an amma gedola, but when it comes to the measurement of most areas of halacha, it's like Hilchos Shabbos, Trum Shabbos, and Arba Amos B'Shus HaRabim, and the Arba Amos, the Esrim Amos for a Sukkah, there the Shiur is the Amo Benonis of 6 tfachim, not less, not more. Now, the Mishnah goes on to describe the Amo Gedola, the examples which existed in the time of the Beis HaMikdash when you used a Amo slightly larger than 6 tfachim. a half an etzba larger or an etzba larger, longer than the amma. So the Mishnah says, Ushte amos hayu bishushan habira. There was a little room or chamber built above the eastern gate of the Har HaBayis. And the eastern gate was the gate by which one entered the Har HaBayis. So when you went there, you saw above the gate was kind of a sculpture or a painting, the portrait of Shushan HaBira, of the city of Shushan. You had the a sculpture of the skylines of Shushan HaBira. We won't go in now into why that was chosen to be the decoration of the eastern gate of the Har HaBayis. But in that chamber above the Shar HaMizrahi, above the eastern gate, there were two poles, two yardsticks, so to speak, but they weren't yardsticks, they were amma sticks, sticks the length of an amma. A little bit more than an amma, as we'll see. Achas al keren mizrochis tzifonis, one was on the northern end of this chamber. So if you were walking in from outside the Beis HaMikdash through the eastern gate, you saw one amma, one yardstick on the right hand, the northern hand. Achas al keren mizrochis dromis, and one on the southeast end to your left. Sha'al keren mizrochis tzifonis hoyuso yisero al shel Moshe chatzi etzba. The amma of Moshe Rabbeinu was six tvochim. On the north side of this Shushan HaBira chamber, there was an amma, a yardstick, which was a half an etzba longer than that, meaning it was six tvochim and an etzba, and a half an etzba. Sha'al keren mizrochis dromis, and the yardstick that was on the southern side of this gate, on the left side of the gate as you were entering, hoisa yisera oleho chatzi etzba, was an additional half an etzba. In other words, there was six tvochim and a half an etzba, plus an additional half an etzba, nimtzeis yisera al shel Moshe etzba. So in sum, this yardstick on the southern part of this Shushan HaBira chamber was a six tvochim and a full etzba longer. Why did you have these two amma sticks, which were more than an amma, either a half an etzba more or an etzba more? V'lama omru achas gedola v'yachas ketano. Why did we say that there should be amma in the Beis HaMikdash, which were six tvachim plus half etzba, or six tvachim plus full etzba, and yet there was also the standard amma, which was exactly six tvachim? Interesting reason, says the Mishnah. Elo, sheha umonin, craftsmen, the artisans who worked in the Beis HaMikdash and built either the buildings or the walls or the ceilings or the floors or the vessels, gold and silver vessels, these skilled laborers, notlin biktano, they would commit themselves to do the malacha by the amma ketana, by the amma shel Moshe, by the six tfachim amma. That's what they would commit themselves to do. However, when they actually manufactured or fashioned or sculpted the actual object or part of the building in which they were working, they would not deliver just six tfachim worth. They would deliver, in the case of gold and silver, six tfachim plus a half an etzba worth. This was in the case of gold and silver, where we didn't want to tax them too much to give over and above that which was provided to them of their own money. So we say they only had to give the half an etzba. So if they were going to make a long pole out of silver, they would commit to do an amo, six tvachim, but they would actually do six tvachim plus an etzba, donating the material for that extra half etzba of their own money. And similarly, if they were building parts of the building, parts of the structure, then they would produce not the six amos which they committed to, the six tfachim amo which they committed to, but rather the six tfachim plus a full etzba amo of this extra etzba coming out of their own funds. Why did they do this? Why did they have to give more material than was provided to them? Kadesh lo yavo lidei me'ilo. In order to be sure that they wouldn't use for their own purposes any of the materials provided to them, so they had to return the finished objects with a greater quantity than was given to them. So this way they would be sure there was an extra margin to protect them from violating the prohibition of Me'ila, which means the prohibition against deriving benefit from sacred objects. And so we have completed lesson number 67, Perek Yud Zayin, Mishneches and Mishnetes. Lesson number 67.